With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit ScoreNorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit ScoreNorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Oh, it's fun, crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
Yes, it is Royce Unchained. And Patrick, how about those Twins, huh? Beat Detroit 4 in a row.
What excitement. Only percentage points out of third now.
Yes.
Actually, the last two games, I mean, yesterday was a hell of a game. It took a little while.
It was like 4:20 something.
Yeah,
I think.
Right. Yeah. It took forever.
I was there. Yep.
It took forever, but it was a two stout comebacks. Why do we know why manager Hinch allowed Derek Holland? He couldn't have been out of relievers. Right?
I think he was out of relievers.
Well, this is his sixth one.
Yes.
So, but the day before he'd used a bunch of them too, right?
Oh, that bullpen is god awful.
But you got the All-Star game coming up. So, yes. We had one guy who'd been really good
Gregory Soto.
And he didn't.
He's our all-star, but that Joe Jimenez might be one of the worst in baseball.
Yeah. Well, if he gets released, I know who's going to claim him and send him to St. Paul, our fellas. But, yeah, it was, you know, who's really been good about 2-3 weeks? Polanco.
Mm-hmm.
He's been good in the field and great at the plate. He's been very good, and it is really weird for an old time baseball guy like myself the way they use their batting order. You know what? Sometimes he's batting first, next time he's hitting fourth, next time he's hitting behind these guys. I don't quite know how it works.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite know how it works, but he's been very good, and you know. What the heck? So, and Larnick, however, I think he had 8 strikeouts in 2 days, right?
Yes.
I think he was 0-for-5 both times.
Yep.
That's kind of odd to see all of a sudden. I mean, you can see that he's got strikeout potential, and he does take the marginal pitch a little too often
mm-hmm.
when he's got 2 strikes on him. But all of a sudden, boom, he's 0-for-2. You know, because they were batting him third a lot and Kirilloff fifth, which I couldn't figure out either. I mean, I want Kirilloff to get more swings than Larnick's getting, right? That kid can hit, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Kirilloff's got a sweet
swing.
There's
no doubt about it. I mean, he can hit left-handed pitching.
Yes.
He can hit all kinds of pitching. He
made a hell of a play at first base, too.
Saved
Duffy's ass.
I think the big boy might not have made that play.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, might have stretched out there and fumbling around a little bit, but
and Duffy forgot to cover first. He froze, so
I don't know if Kirilloff. But that's their fastest guy too. I'm not sure that he would have even gotten there.
That was a nice play at first base.
Yeah, that was.
I think he's their long-term first baseman.
That was, but you know, it was the Tigers that won like 3 straight series or something. 9 out of 4. They were I couldn't figure out how they were playing good and. And then then we got to see him here, and you know it's going to be quite the battle. I think the Twins are probably now, although they got to go to Detroit for 4 more. Does anyone know why the schedule is like this?
Why it's back to back?
Eight straight games?
It was supposed to be 7, but they're making
but still,
up one. But no,
but it's,
I have no idea why they're going back to back.
We're doing that in AAA. This is the major leagues.
Yes.
I've never
seen
it.
Oh, the 6-game series in AAA is my favorite.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. Yes, but the why they're going to Detroit now is extremely weird. But how about Rocco getting married?
Yeah, that's a Ponder move.
Yeah,
Ponder in the bye week.
But he's except.
Yep.
Ponder met the
Oh yeah,
he met her like 6 months before he She was the only one who was being nice to him, so he married her.
Yeah.
But
the in-season
but
thing.
Rocco and this gal have been together for 10, 12 years or something. So.
Yeah, I wonder why you wouldn't do it in the offseason.
Tuesday. I do like the fact he dropped at Tropicana Field. Yeah, we're going to get back together at Tropicana Field.
Oh, I didn't.
He said.
I saw he was getting married. I didn't see that.
No, and no, the team would reassemble on Thursday at Tropicana Field, I think he said. And somebody said, yeah. And he said, oh, wait a minute. No, Target Field. So anyway, so they have him come back and work out on Thursday. So the four-day All-Star break's really a three-day All-Star break then?
Yeah, that'd be right. Yep.
Why do you suppose our guy Nelly didn't want to hit in the home run derby? You think just he didn't want to get those old bones?
I think it's a lot of effort.
Yeah.
With a clock now and all, I think it's a lot of effort.
Yeah, probably. I'm going to watch it. I'm not a dedicated home run derby watcher, but mm-hmm. I'm going to watch Ohtani. I am all in on him. And by the way, he's mm-hmm. here. The same 4 days we got the golf tournament up in Blaine. He's here. July 22 through 25.
That's the first home games back because they play. Yeah. They play the 4 and 3 days in Detroit. Then they go to the White Sox for three, mm-hmm. right? And then they come back here and play.
Those White Sox better watch themselves now that our fellas are on a roll. By the way, Cleveland now stinks too.
Yes, the division's awful, Pat.
Yeah, those four.
Playing the Tigers White, and Royals.
And the White Sox are the White Sox would be really good if they had their A team. Mm-hmm. But they're running away with the division with their B team. They mm-hmm. don't have any of their outfielders, and they don't have their second baseman.
Eloy began a rehab assignment, though, yes. So he's going to be back pretty soon, which could make him.
I like the other guy better, though. Robert.
Oh,
Robert.
Yeah, yeah, he's
Robert.
Out for the, yeah. Yeah, he should be Robert, but
yes,
he's Robert.
Yes.
It's very disappointing when you decide to go with Robert.
You know one thing? I watched it for a few minutes last night. The Major League Draft. And they were really trying to make a big deal out of this thing a couple, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And they still have some guys who want to show up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And do the jersey and the thing. But they've kind of, they know their place now. They know that it's really, but there's two things that really bothered me about it. There's one thing that really bothered me about it.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have a black guy drafted until ninth, mm-hmm. their 10th, the pitcher from Vanderbilt. And I don't know if there were more than two African-American kids drafted in the top 30. This sport's got to, they keep thinking that
you've written about this.
Yeah, but they keep thinking they're making inroads and they're doing all this program. It's getting worse.
No, it's getting worse. Yes.
It's getting worse. Well, this year, I think 8% this year. And if you go back to the 60s and the 70s, it was pushing 30%.
Mm-hmm.
Just think how good this game would be if they were getting to go with the Latin players, if they were getting a fair share of the black athletes.
Yeah.
But they're not getting them. I don't know what you can do. I don't know. I think they watch the game and they're like everybody else.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Too damn slow.
Well, yeah, you've got other sports that are probably far more exciting to play and yes. that you can thrive in. And I just don't know. Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
I think another thing baseball has going against it with the Kyle Murrays of the world is even if you loved baseball more than anything, you still got to go down to A-ball yes. and prove you can hit.
And ride buses.
And yes, prove you can hit. And I got news for him. He's a quarterback in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Hitting a baseball is harder. mm-hmm. You know, playing quarterback in the NFL is very hard. But if you're a great athlete, there's no guarantee you can hit.
And you can play quarterback in the NFL immediately.
Yes.
As opposed to being in a bus yes. in A and then high A and then double A.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, because he was going to play for the A's. I think he had signed, right?
Yes, he had. And I think he gave the money back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
but I can't blame the kid.
Hell no. I mean, how could you possibly blame him for it? But he's the wrong example that I should give because, you know, did he go first over?
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
Yeah. He's the wrong example I should give you. But what I'm saying is a kid who's got the option, they don't want to go take the chance that they're going to not get to the big leagues for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, NBA, I mean, you don't run into basketball, baseball players. There's very few of those, so that's not a problem. But there's baseball, football. You run into the black kids, you know, Mahomes. Could have made it as a pitcher in baseball. He threw 96 or some damn thing.
Yep.
So the Twins draft this 6'2" pitcher who seems from New Jersey. Well, he's about 180. Has hit 100. When's his Tommy John surgery going to be?
Well, a year and a half.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think you should. The first thing you should do mm-hmm. with those kids is teach them to get by with 96. You know, and say, now if you really need it in the sixth inning to get out of the inning,
right,
go get 99. But if you're, you know, Kopech, he was throwing 102, and he missed a year. And,
but that's all the game's based, or not all. That's a large thing the game's based on now.
And there's really no way to prevent it. But I just can't believe that there's not more strain on the arm the harder you throw, right?
Yes.
I mean,
well, how many guys do you think back when Tommy John first came up and was seen as a big deal still, how many guys do you think probably needed it, never had it? Because it has to be. Like, we now say, oh, my God, all these kids need it, and this is different than mm-hmm. the old days. My guess is guys made adjustments more often than we know.
Oh, well, Cott, you know, always contends that when he popped his elbow in 67 in the game, he was pitching great. He popped his elbow in the second inning against the Red Sox in that last game of the season. And then the Twins got beat and the Red Sox went to the World Series. And he said it would have been Tommy John if it was modern, you know, baseball. I mean, modern medicine, but he just rehabbed it and didn't throw quite as hard and became a quick pitched and made all these adjustments and did all these different stuff. And I think his last year was 83.
I was going to say he pitched in the 80s.
I think 83 was his last year, 82 or 3.
So he obviously pitched, compensated okay.
Well, he pitched 25 years and 59 was his earliest, so 25 years. 25 years. So we're going to miss him.
Oh, God, he was good. Man, bring it. You know what? Give him whatever he wants.
Yeah. I think it's their decision. I think they want. They don't think Cott appeals to 30-year-olds, but 30-year-olds aren't watching the.
I was going to say, yeah.
But 30-year-olds watching the games. Right. So, you know, so anyway. I mean, it's like Kelly. Kelly's not on anymore. Kelly was great.
Kelly was fantastic.
But the delivery was not, you know, the delivery was Tom Kelly.
Yeah.
You know, explaining something to you.
But Cott is a knows exactly what he's doing from a broadcasting standpoint.
You know, why is he not in the Broadcasting Hall of Fame?
Why did he
never win the Ford Frick Award?
I don't know. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a bigger one than his playing career.
Yes, it is. I mean, his playing career. He should be in, but it's debatable. The announcing part is not debatable.
No. He's a Hall of Fame broadcaster.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell is going on. I don't know why they do it. So I realized something
mm-hmm.
this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest, and I, by the way, we're eating halibut tonight at the Rice's. Fresh halibut caught 3 days ago by Louie Nanny in Alaska.
You're kidding me.
I called him up on Friday to get a quote about the whole how they divided up the sharks and the jets. You know, the sharks and the North Stars and the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I texted him first. And I said, are you in Banff or at the lake? You know, and he said, neither. I'm in Alaska deep sea fishing. So then he called me back.
Because he's Louie.
Yeah, he called me back. And he's been up there 3-4 times, I guess. They caught 13 species of fish, 1,000 pounds of fish. But the halibut, when I talked to him, I said, man, I love halibut. And he said, I'll bring you some. So anyway, yesterday I went out and saw him at his restaurant, which is revitalized and doing pretty good.
Good.
The Tavern 23.
Yep.
And he gave me some halibut, but then I got him telling stories about the Sioux for an hour, growing up in the Sioux. And I got to write something about this someday because we're, I think he came here in September of 59 and, you know, and came down. But we started talking about, I had this thought that the biggest change in sports is parents going to games. You know, and practices, all of them. Because I was at a baseball game Saturday for Luke's team up in Brooklyn Park. I got a nice complex up there, by the way. And we, you know, the Woodbury team, the whatever they call themselves, Raptors or whatever they are, had 50 parents, maybe. No, 30. They had a delegation of about 30, maybe. And the other team was about the same. They were playing Montemini. But it was Sartell and somebody was playing in the other field. There had to be 100 grandma, grandpas, and cousins for each team, you know. And I was thinking, when parents didn't go to games when I was growing up. You know, they, if you were playing way over in Laverne, they weren't going to go there. How'd the game come out, you know? Right. And practice, are you kidding me? Go to a practice and watch a practice? Are you nuts? I've just wondered, I'm trying to remember, because I was thinking about this, because Jim is home, Jim, my oldest son, and he was talking about his legendary Babe Ruth coach, Jack Andrews, who was the town druggist. And Jim does a fantastic version of his accent that he had, because with the name Andrews, somehow he had this Scandinavian accent, and he would tell them how bad they were, you know, if they screwed up, you know, because he wanted to win. I was there one day with Carl Peterson from the paper, St. Paul, and he thought it was the funniest thing he's ever seen. Ball went through the legs of the second baseman. Val Zweber, the great Val Zweber, great kid, hooked him.
Really?
Hooked him.
Went Mike Andrews on, huh?
No, yeah, he went, yeah, he, Charlie Finley, hooked
him. Took him right out?
But Jim was telling me, Jim was slow. And Jack was over there. He was on first base late in the game. And he's giving him all the signals. And Jim said, he give me the steal signal? So Jim takes off. He gets thrown out by 10 feet. And Jack, and for some reason that day, neither Jim's mother or I could drive, you know, drive him or nobody. So he got a ride with Jack.
Oh, no.
And they're driving back from wherever the hell they went. And he said, hey, Royce, someday you're the hero. Some days you can be the hero, and some days you can be the goat, and you're the goat. And Jack wouldn't have lasted 10 minutes with modern parents, you know, telling them, you know, telling them when they were bad, telling them they were bad. But I was thinking, the best stories you have as a kid are the abuse of the negative coach. Mm-hmm. They're much better than the butt kisser who just, you know, you want to
be. Valley Sports North coach?
Yeah, the Valley Sports North. No, the most fun is the guy who was a jerk, you know, and who told you how rotten you were, and you can laugh about it all these years later, you know? Like Bristol, the guy down in Fulda, the shop teacher, he hated me. And I love that I have experienced Bristol, because he, you know, he coached some football and he coached other stuff. But Bristol,
you're right.
He gave me a D on my shop project just so he never had to see me again because he didn't want to fuck me. You know, those are the guys, those are the teachers and the coaches you remember.
You're right.
Are the negative ones. Right, Declan?
Oh, I have plenty of them.
I was going to say, I have plenty of them.
But the guy that was the nice guy, yeah. I mean, who cares?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, who cares? It's the one, the memories are the hard ass.
What's the hardest I have to work to get this C?
What
good personal relationship can I install with the teacher that he can give me this C?
But the verbal abuse was fun.
Yes.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
That was great fun.
Yes, yes. And anyway. Jack, he was.
If you don't have a teacher, if you don't have at least one who tells you at some point in time in your high school career that you're going to amount to nothing,
yes, right,
correct,
yeah,
your life isn't worth it.
No, that's true. That's true. You know, I mean, I would much rather be known as a screw up than a kiss up.
Oh yeah,
wouldn't you?
Yes.
There's nothing worse than you could be would be to. But
Louis, you're
was,
right.
Louis was telling me anyway. So back to Louis.
Mm-hmm.
He said his mother saw him play once in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad saw him play like twice before he went to the Gophers. And then he'd go up to Houghton and see him play when they played at Houghton every year. But they didn't, you know, the rink was four blocks from where their house was, but they had better stuff to do. They worked.
Louis's parents would put him on the bus to Tigers games in Detroit Sioux, and Louis would go solo as a kid to Tiger Stadium.
Yes, yeah, right.
Think about that.
Yeah, but they, you know, it's what a story he is, though, just because the Espositos were, what, three houses away for him? Chico Mackey, he was rattling them all off.
Oh, it's, yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, they could have had their own NHL team.
Mm-hmm.
It's, then they were.
And the Espositos were big time characters.
And then they were all within 4 years of each other, you know, up there in this town that's. His mother must have been a beauty. What was her name? Mary, was it? She was a baker, a stout gal. He told me. He said there wasn't anybody in town he couldn't beat arm wrestling except his mother.
The Meadows at Mystic Lake is hosting the 2021 Land O'Lakes Legends Classic August 6th and 7th. See some of the greatest names in the history of women's golf as they compete in the inaugural Land O'Lakes Legends Classic presented by the Meadows at Mystic Lake. The Legends of the LPGA Tour is known for its fan-friendly environment with lots of opportunities for autographs, limited roping, and photo ops after the rounds. To learn more about the August 6th and 7th event, stop in or visit golfthemeadows.com. That's golfthemeadows.com. Owned and operated by the Shakopee Minwakanton Sioux community.
But his mother was a baker. So, and there was like 10 different families that were sort of associated with either the maternal side or the paternal side. And she'd cook on, start baking like Saturday evening, bake till 2 o'clock in the morning, all these wonderful baked goods to take to the various families. And she'd go over there with a plate of cookies and whatever else. And she'd ask somebody, the kid or the guy, did you go to Mass this morning, Sunday? If he said no, she'd say, you touch one of these donuts, I'll break your finger. And did you go to Mass? Yes. Take whatever you want. If you didn't go to Mass, you didn't eat.
That was your penance.
That was the Italians, you know, hard-nosed Italians. So, anyway, I was going to go in and out of there, and I finally, after an hour, said, I got to run, Louis, but we'll do this again sometime. Man alive, the stories are growing up.
Nobody in this town has remade himself as many times as Louis has.
That's right.
Because he was the GM when I was a kid. There's generations now that would have no idea that he was a GM.
Yeah.
You know, he was a player,
before that.
Yeah.
He led the Big Ten in scoring as a defenseman.
Yes, he's a damn good player.
He could get some assist, man. But, you know, he came down here and without the proverbial pot to urinate in.
Yes.
And He's done pretty damn well.
He orchestrated the merger of two of them. This is not possible.
No, he did two of them.
Yeah.
Those were,
but the Cleveland one's the most incredible story of all time.
The league allowed him to absorb another team.
Yes.
What kind of a Bush league?
Oh, God, the late 70s?
Were unbelievable. Oh. Yeah. Louis talked him into, well, we'll take the best players from Cleveland, but we'll make the rest of them available to you. But I still get Bobby Smith, the number one draft choice.
Lou's story was that there were a lot of people who objected and said, you can't let the North Stars have another team and take players.
Yes.
Sam Pollock, the GM of the Canadiens, said, it's okay because you take one bag of horse bleep, combine it with another bag of horse bleep, it's still horse bleep.
Yeah, but the best part is, it didn't cost him the number. You could have an entire team, and you still get Bobby Smith.
No, it's the most incredible thing.
But this, so I was looking up the thing they did with San Jose, and Louis' quote is, "It's not that complicated if you understand it." And I said, that's what they said about splitting the atom. It wasn't that complicated if you understand it. How they divided that team. I'd forgotten they lost Neil Wilkerson.
Yes. They lost Wilkie.
He was a great young defenseman.
They lost a few decent players.
Yeah. Yeah. And they did lose a few, but they...
I loved your story today, just a little encapsulation of it, though, where Howie the hairdo had the line about financial problems.
Yeah.
And Louis said, what financial
problems? I didn't know we had financial problems. I thought the reason we got you two guys in here was because we weren't going to have...
I don't think Howie had much at all.
No, and this Belzberg guy was, but then they...
Yeah, he was a rental
then
car
they
guy.
Sold 51% to Norm and thought they were... And you should look at the original quotes. They're like, well, Howard has said, the Norm's just... he's going to stay in Canada and continue to run his shopping empire, his shopping malls and stuff. And Louis told me 3 days later, Howard was getting like 150 Xerox pieces of paper telling him, this is what I'm going to do. He was out in 72 hours after Norm
Belzberg got out right away, too, because they both realized this guy was crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was. He was so crazy. He was when they played Montreal in like November, I'd forgotten the opener drew 5,300 or something.
Yeah, against the Blues.
Season opener.
Yes, no one was there.
5,300.
I think we were there. I think you were by me that game.
And you mentioned that last week. And then Montreal drew less than five. Now, I'm not sure what they announced, but they were less than five. He called me, Norm, like at 8 a.m. I don't know. I got my number. He said, what am I going to do? I said, I don't know. I said, win games, I guess. But then
you didn't say move him to Dallas?
Then he got dancing girls and...
the Electric Stars?
The Electric Stars.
Gave away cash?
Cash, yeah.
That was the...
Yeah.
Well, and... The one thing that the Guns allowed the team to do that Norm wouldn't was paper the house. So the Guns would just give away tickets. And Norm put an end to that. But because of that, there were, like you said, 5,300 people there.
Yeah. Well, it was. Now, I'd forgotten that he wanted to run a skyway from the Met Center over to the new mall, right?
Yes.
And there was going to be a casino in the middle.
Yes.
And he was going to get the casino.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was the greatest deal.
I mean, Norm, the tribes are the only ones that get casinos, but that was his plan. And that did, when that did, I'd forgotten they offered him 10 years free rent and he had no interest.
I'd forgotten that too.
Yeah. I did love the Rod Wallace quote I ran across that Harvey showed up, Harvey got so many bows for 84 when he had the ticket buyout that he showed up at one of at Howard's press conference to remind everyone that he had put together an all-star group of downtown businessmen and Rod Wallace. I think it must have been at the Thunderbird or something. Rod Wallace, who I knew, said, it was such an impressive list that a lot of them didn't even know they were on it. Oh, man. How could we not have...
I miss stuff like that.
How could we not have someone in this town willing to pay $31.5 million for an NHL franchise? In 1991.
Well, okay, So the one thing about that, though, by the end is the story is this. And I've forgotten this till I looked this up about a year and a half ago. So Norm had a deal to move the team to Anaheim. And that's when the Mighty Ducks had just come out.
Yeah.
The league stepped in and said, you can't because we're going to have an expansion franchise there. And this is right before Bettman. And so that's where they gave Norm the note that said, if it doesn't work for you, you can move it. No questions asked. So I don't know at that point, by that point, I don't know if it was a combination, but he was going, he basically said, that's fine. That's great.
When was he going to go to Anaheim after 92 then?
Yeah. Around the same time he was sniffing around behind the scenes, but they were going to go to Anaheim. And that's when the league said, because of Disney.
Yeah.
Disney had come to the league and said, we want in.
Yeah.
So that might have been part of it too. But I mean, my God, that was such a different time.
Well, but in, they were fighting to get him committed in 91, I think. They were fighting to get him in 91, I think, when all that thing was going on. So the Anaheim thing must have came up later.
Then. And then Bettman got, when Bettman took office, Norm had the note. And Bettman did say, we really don't want to lose that market. This is really embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And Norm said, I don't care.
Yeah. Well, and you also wonder how much was the was Kelly not being too happy with Norm chasing that. All those stories came out about Norm chasing the help, but I think that I think they were going anyway.
Yeah.
He wanted out.
I think it was about four things.
Yeah. Well, he didn't want to be told no.
Yes.
That was his problem.
If he thought he was going to get a casino in this state between the Mall of America and Met Center, he's crazy.
And, you know, Harv and Marv tried to say, well, we offered him a deal to come downtown, but they weren't going to let him use the North Star's advertising.
Right.
So if they were Burger King and the Wolves, you couldn't change the...
Yeah,
change the advertising.
I think the North Stars were a Pepsi team and the Wolves were a Coke team and the North Stars might have been McDonald's and the Wolves were Burger King.
Something like that.
But they told him you can't bring your people.
I don't think he wanted to go downtown anyway. And he would have been a disaster if he'd gone down there with that as a hockey arena.
Yeah, by the way, that arena was that's an awful hockey venue.
Well, yeah, because 65% of the seats are upstairs instead of downstairs. That's part of it.
One of the greatest mysteries in sports building.
Yes.
Because the Metrodome, I get, it was built on the cheap.
Yeah.
It served its purpose. I didn't like it, but that's fine. The Target Center is the one I don't get.
This is Ricey for EcoFun Motorsports. The preseason sale on all bikes, scooters, and ATVs is going on right now in Forest Lake. Beat the spring rush. And EcoFun will give you the free storage with your purchase until the weather is a bit more bike friendly. If you enjoy bike rides on a summer day, but maybe your knees aren't what they used to be, then I recommend that you talk with Tim Bloom, the owner of EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Tim and his family will personally help you select the e-bike that is right for you. They will even deliver to your front door in the metro area. Take advantage of the preseason sale prices right now. Bentelli bikes and Yamaha Power Assist bikes are at their lowest price of the year. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Take a test ride and put biking back on your list of favorite outdoor activities. They also carry a full line of Yamaha scooters, motorcycles, and a variety of Yamaha ATVs, including ATVs for kids. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake and online at EcoFunMotorsports.com. That's ECOFUN Motorsports.com. And tell Tim you heard it on Ricey Unchained.
How do you, who convinces you to put?
But, they were kind of the last of the arenas that, you didn't really, you somehow had this idea that if people thought if they just could get in, they wouldn't care if they could see it or not.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you ever sit up there, try to watch a basketball game up at the top? I mean,
I've been to the very top.
It's, ooh, you know, it's like being in one of the domes to watch basketball. It's, yeah, I don't know. It was rather foolish, to say the least.
Where were your seats when you had season tickets at first?
We were downstairs in a little corner.
Okay.
And Augie and I, we had them. But one of them, they faced in different directions. One of them, like, looked straight, and then the other one was looking at you. So you're the person you were with. I took Katie to a couple, three games, and she said, my neck hurts. I'm not going back, you know, from trying to look around the corner. And they were very, your knees hit each other. They were not prime seats because Augie had one.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to figure out a spot to get two, and didn't work out too good. I think we only kept them 2 years, maybe. So, yeah. So anyway, that was it. But if you're not downstairs, or at least the top 10 rows upstairs, you're...
Yeah, the top 10 rows upstairs are not bad.
No.
But, yeah, if you're up... I just don't understand how you decide to put more seats upstairs than down.
Did we get any updates on Ant's injury, by the way?
The only thing we got an update on was he put on Instagram the next day that he was going back to practice. I don't think he was going to practice.
Okay.
But so now we've had Ant hurt, Wancho's hurt, and Reed got hurt as well, but it's minor. So basically, everyone
who's the guy hurt?
Naz Reed.
Oh, and you mentioned somebody else.
Oh, Wancho Hernan Gomez got hurt.
Doing what?
He's like separated his shoulder.
Oh, is he playing for some
for Spain? Right.
Oh, playing from Spain.
Yeah, it's bad.
Really?
Yes.
God Almighty.
Yeah, they've had basically everyone they sent to this damn thing's gotten hurt.
How about the
dislocated left shoulder?
How about the new dream team losing to Nigeria? I like that one.
I think they might not win gold. I predicted that a week and a half ago.
Yeah, it's kind of a slap together team. You know, it's basically who will say yes.
Yes.
You know, it's not.
Yeah.
These are our preferences.
And by the way, I don't blame these guys anymore.
No.
For not going to this.
Especially this year because everything's later. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, how about hockey? These guys their off season's going to be what?
Yep.
You should start your training camp 2 weeks later than normal. Shouldn't you let the rookies come in
or something?
So
the Stanley Cup Finals ended last week.
Yes.
And they're going to be in training camp in 2 months.
Yeah, that's not enough. You need a longer break than that. That's for sure.
And then they're going to, the players still want to go and shut down. So if the Olympic Games are held, which I think they will be in February, they want to go to that as well. And I guess that basically the waiver form, the Olympics is having the athletes sign, say, if I die, it's not your fault.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're afraid that if COVID spreads someone gets deathly ill and dies, they don't want to be on the hook for being sued.
They, poor Japan, man, $12.5 billion. Before what they've had to spend doing all the COVID protocols, and they should have just said, we're going to try it again next year. You know, that's, you know, if you can't have fans there, what's the purpose?
I have no idea.
You know, what's the TV money pays, you know, it's going to pay part of the bill, but they don't pay the whole 12 and
a half.
Yeah,
but I mean, the whole purpose of the Olympics is to the experience, right?
Yes, right. Yeah, it's, I don't know. You also wonder what kind of Rachel and Sue Ann are going for us. You wonder what kind of restrictions they're going to put on, you know.
It's all Zooms?
I'm sure it's all Zoom. But even that, what are you going to be able to, you know, are you going to be able to request people? Rachel's probably in good enough with the Minnesota kids to have cell phones and stuff.
But, that's true.
You know, but the old idea of. The old idea of following every local, no matter where the hell they are, that's probably, and there's more than ever. I think 17 Minnesotans this year. Yeah. So, I mean, it's gonna be kind of tough to go over there and cover Reagan Smith if you don't have any access to Reagan Smith, right? So, she's in two events.
But yeah, I'm sure with the restrictions, there won't be. No, what mixed pool? Is that what they call it?
No, those are good. I think they'd already announced they were eliminating those. The mixed zone, the famous mixed zone, which is a pain in the ass. I go back to, I think Barcelona, we could still go talk to guys. I mean, they would kind of assemble hallways and stuff like that. You know,
so pre-mix zone
wasn't the idea that you would that they'd walk by in this thing and you had to pray that they stopped and talked to you. I think I'm guessing. When did the two chicks from the U.S. track team, Gail Devers and the other one, start badmouthing each other up on the? We still got in the room for the Bass interview after that one, and the two basically, I think they'd had the same boyfriend or something at one time, and then they didn't. Gail Devers, I can't remember what the other one, like the two best sprinters, and they basically, they did everything but they MF'd each other without using the MF word, but anything else. It was great.
Good for them. That's good copy.
It was, oh, God, it was great. It was fantastic. That could have been Sydney in 2000.
Hey, I got a question for you on the Twins. When are the Twins going to break down, and I was thinking about this weekend, and allow you to have input in their Hall of Fame? You've talked about this before.
Yes.
But I'm looking at the people that aren't there yet, right? And I'm looking at the fact that Halsey Hall's still not there.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. You can't have a bar named after somebody who you didn't think would put in the Hall of Fame.
So when are they just going to break down and allow to put a couple,
Veterans Committee.
Yeah, a one-person Veterans Committee.
Yes, right. I'm the Veterans Committee. First, Halsey. Second, Caesar.
Yep.
Third, Al Worthington. Then there's some others that are pretty marginal that should be in there,
You know
there
what?
Too.
Tony can work with you, too.
Yes.
You and Tony
can
do it.
And you know what? There should be a category for Gladden because he's a two-time World Series winner, and now he's been in part of your media operation for 20 years. He's a contributor.
Absolutely.
In both ends, you know? They're not too good. But the Vikings do it interesting. They just announce who it is.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have anybody vote.
Mm-hmm.
They don't.
They just pick them.
They got about five guys who've been around out there. They recommend it, and then it's up to the Zigmeister and Mark Wolf to give the blessing or not. And, I think it also helps if the guy plans to be there. I think that's probably.
Well, and they usually bring the guy into the building to tell him that he's in. Mm-hmm. They surprise him. But, I mean, they've done a pretty good job with it.
Oh, yeah, they have. Anthony Carter, I still say, but they say, well, he only made one all-pro team and stuff like that. But you look at his stats, they're better than Rashad's. Mm-hmm. And plus, he's personally responsible for a playoff run. You can't say that about Amon, right?
Well, the San Francisco game is still one of the incredible single games.
And New Orleans, too.
Yep. You're right.
He's the reason they won those two games.
If the Twins would just have you and, like, Tony sit down and figure this out. Because the Twins have been really good. They do a great job of honoring their past, except for this one thing.
Yeah, well, and they'll never get it done voting because the new, you got to be as old as me to say, Caesar, hell, I had to threaten to burn down the building to get Camilo in, for God's sakes. It took forever to get Camilo in.
I know.
Three-time American League strikeout leader. First superstar pitcher of the team.
This is a sport where we take the past very seriously, which I appreciate.
Yes. Yeah. We used to go to games because Camilo was pitching.
Yep. Yeah, you didn't sit there for 324 either.
No. It's when I was going through the 91 series, I think Jack still would have pitched in, right? Because Kelly wouldn't have taken him up. Mm-hmm. But Atlanta would have had four or five pitchers. How long does that game take? How long six and seven take?
God.
You could add both those games would have gotten over at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Six. Yeah.
Both of those games.
Six goes till about 12:50. Yeah.
Yeah. Both of them last forever. Yeah. I don't know what they're going to do. By the way, I saw this the other day. Joey Gallo comes up against, don't know who it was. And which team?
Who they were playing?
Two outfielders,
mm-hmm.
Five.
Oh, this is the new shift for him.
Five infielders between second and first.
Okay.
Five infielders between second and first.
Yep.
Two outfielders, one in right center, the other in right field. Nobody left of second base in the infield or the outfield. It was the damnedest. When you see what they had him, what target he had to hit if it was ball on the ground, the hardest hit ball in the history of baseball couldn't have gotten through there. Mm-hmm. I think you know what might be a simple solution is the infielder's got to be in the dirt when the play
starts.
Well,
that's what they're doing
in the minors, yeah.
Experiment.
Because that, I think the biggest farce of the game is having the guy hit the ball, pick it up 30, 40 feet out in the outfield and throw a guy out, yep. Don't you?
Yes.
So maybe that's what they'll end up doing.
This is Ricey for the Canopy Group. As you set out to explore Minnesota this summer, think about this. There are 234 cities in Minnesota with populations over 2,500. The Canopy Group has clients in all but seven of those. Why is this fact important? Because the Canopy Group's experience in all of these Minnesota cities gives them a unique edge in getting you the best home and auto insurance coverage at the best price. Remember, the Canopy Group offers 15 insurance companies for a reason, to match your specific situation, including zip code, with the best insurance company for you. This is done every year because your situation may change. It is also true that the insurance company's appetites might change as well. This experience working throughout Minnesota provides thousands of Canopy Group clients the peace of mind knowing the Canopy Group is working for them. Please visit thecanopygroup.com.
They're going to have to do something to declare an illegal defense of some sort.
Yes, because left-handed hitters are just getting absolutely hosed.
Yep.
I mean, it's more.
I also think staying on the side of the bag that you play would be very fair so that you can't take your. Well, not now it is. They used to put the third baseman in right field a lot. Now it seems like the third baseman goes and plays short. The shortstop goes and plays second, and the second baseman plays shallow right field.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. If you brought them in on the dirt, and then you also had them be on the side of the bag that they're supposed to be on.
Yeah. But even if you don't want to, even if you can let them shift the infielders, if you make them stay on the infield, it reduces the advantage of
the
shift.
Well, then Polanco can't be in right field.
Because you can't play right field.
Yes.
I mean, you can't play right field. Well, so you can, if you got three guys over there, you can drive the ball through them, but you can't drive the ball through them if the one of them is standing 30 feet out in the outfield.
Because I think the Padres still, on a regular basis, have Machado play shallow right. So he moves from third to shallow right.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, it's ridiculous.
And then when historians look at the box scores of the future, some guy's going to hit a line drive, one hopper to right field. And it's going to be a 5-3 because they still put in
yes
what position the guy started the game at. They have screwed up the history of the game as far
scoring
as field.
Scoring a game now is impossible.
I had Simmons as my on my list of the four most valuable Twins at their position. I had Rogers first, Barrios second, Polanco third, and Simmons fourth. And these guys, hey, he's way overrated defensively. And they're all coming up with this defensive zone ratings. There is no defensive zone for the infield anymore. It's not, you know, it's not the shortstop playing shortstop. There is no zone. You got to watch the game and see what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And he's fantastic.
Well, his instincts in the field. He's a goofy guy.
Yes,
but his instincts.
And he'll make a kick once in a while. But
yeah, but he'll also
there's
make
nobody I'd rather have a ball hit to.
That arm?
Oh, yeah. But the gloves.
And the feel. Yeah, the feel for
his instincts. I love the anecdote that Bremer and Morneau actually had about his dad's a cop in Curacao, and that's what's made him so attentive to detail.
Yeah. He's got his ability to know where to be.
Yeah.
If a ball's hit to the wall, he doesn't stand there. He actually knows how to position himself immediately.
And he's never surprised.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's never surprised by something that occurs. I was talking to my grandson the other day, and I said, do you think, as these pitches being thrown, what am I going to do if it's hit to me? And he said, no. I said, that's a good habit to get into.
Yes.
You know, what am I going to do? I'm not sure I was into it when I was 10 either.
Right.
But the idea that what's he going to do if it's hit to me is pretty important.
Yeah, that's probably going to determine what's going to happen on the play if the ball is a deal.
Yes. There's a guy on second and the ball's hit the left center. Don't throw it to third because he's already going to be coming home, you know, that kind of stuff. So anyway. That's the way it goes.
Hit the cutoff man. All right.
How did Charles play? They're saying 76th. There must have only been 70.
Bet 100K on himself to finish top 70 prior to the tournament. He finished 76.
So he bet 100K on himself to
finish. God, he's a beaut. I love that guy.
He's got the worst swing in the history of golf.
He does, but man, is he fun.
Yeah, he is. He is. All righty. Well, no real tirades today. There's nothing I'm really said. When are they going to announce they're still going to be the Washington football team?
For this season.
Why does it take so long? Then they're going
to
tell us.
I think they were trying to decide what they were going to be, and so they took some time. And now Daniel Snyder's basically suspended. His wife's going to run the team, but they're calling it a transition of sorts. So I don't think that's a good idea.
All right.
Talk to you.
If you have questions about your retirement savings, do what I did and work with a person that knows what the heck is going on. Work with Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. My guy Josh will give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Learn how you can benefit from Josh's focused approach by setting up your own no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation to review your investments. Call Josh now, 952-925-5608.
Did you know that 61% of pet owners feel more prepared to be a good pet parent after testing with Embark? Embark your dog with Embark's dog DNA test to get hundreds of actionable health insights. You can be proactive with their health and work with your vet on a personalized care plan. Go to EmbarkVet.com and use promo code DNA, that's DNA, to get $60 off an Embark Breed and Health Kit or Purebred Kit with free shipping. That's promo code DNA to save today.